be helpful if you could turn back to that first reading, Psalm 93. This weekend feels very different to last weekend. If you sense that, last weekend, if you were here, it was communion, and we distributed communion differently, and we didn't shake hands for the peace. We used that British Sign Language version, and you may not have realized, but back then, we were actually at St. Nick's going above and beyond what the Church of England had actually advised. But we wanted to be sensitive, we wanted to be sensible here, but you're always a bit worried as to whether or not you're overreacting. This weekend, I came to church this morning wondering how many people will be here. It's good there's a good number of us. And the Church of England is currently giving advice to churches on how to live stream their services. On Thursday, I spent most of the day preparing a sermon on Isaiah chapter 49, second servant song, the second in the series leading up to Easter. And right towards the end of the day, I began to think, I wonder if I should be preaching on something different in the light of coronavirus. And it was my day off on Friday, and then we had the Alpha morning on Saturday. When I got back about lunchtime, it was clear to me that Isaiah 49 is a wonderful passage, and I think I'd planned a good sermon on it, but we needed to address what is going on in the world more directly. So this may not be the most eloquent sermon I've ever written, or the definitive statement on coronavirus and a Christian response, but this is what we're all talking about. And so we should be talking about it in church when we gather together. So I wonder how you're feeling about it all. A few weeks ago, I showed some photos of my family. I put up a photo of my dad, and you all looked in. And I think then at the all-age service, I put up a photo of me and Ellen on our wedding day. And you seem to like these photos. So I've got two more photos from my family WhatsApp this week. On Thursday, my sister sent this photo on our WhatsApp with the line, "Don't worry, I'm prepared." My sister is a nurse in a hospice in Basingstoke. And they were having a training session using the new hazmat suits that they've been issued. And my brother followed this with this photo, saying, "What virus?" He was at the Cheltenham races, and he was joking, of course. It was a good joke, but his point was that the Cheltenham races, everything was continuing just as normal. Although someone in my family WhatsApp did point out that perhaps the reason there was no concern is that he seems to have time traveled to a different century altogether. So I think we'll move on from that. Thank you, James. I wonder where you are on that spectrum between keep calm and carry on and resisting the urge to panic buy loo rolls. I know some of us have been sent home, told to work from home. People have had holidays cancelled, already redundancies at work. People are anxious about themselves or loved ones. And this is going to impact us all considerably over the weeks and the months ahead. This morning, the papers are talking about food rationing. How is your fear? And how is your faith? How's your fear? And how's your faith? And I want to talk about three things, beginning with these two readings that we've had and then thinking a little bit more widely. I want to think about storms and sickness and security. So firstly, storms. Psalm 93 is a confident declaration that God is king. Begins, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. Your throne was established long ago." God is sovereign. He is in charge, in control. It's a truth for all times, but it's a truth to hold fast to at difficult and disturbing and unsettling times like this one. The Lord reigns. But it's not always easy to believe. Psalm 93 continues this, verse 3, it says, the seas have lifted up, O Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice, the seas have lifted up their pounding waves. I don't know how much you like the sea. On the whole, here in the UK, we have a very positive view of the sea. We're an island nation. The sea has kept us safe from our enemies. It's provided us with an abundance of food. Once we built a whole empire because we tamed the seas with our navies. We once sang, "Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves." In the Bible, though, God's people did not have such a positive view of the sea. For God's people in the Old Testament, the sea was a threat. Foreign invaders came from it. It was a place of chaos and terror and a restless evil, a place that questions whether or not God is in control. And when Psalm 93 says, the seas have lifted up, O Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice, the seas have lifted up their pounding waves, it's as if this is in protest at God's rule, throwing into question God's authority. And plenty of things in life seem to threaten and deny the claim, the Christian claim, that the Lord reigns. Evil and sin and suffering and sickness and disease and death. And they all raise their voices loudly and say that God does not reign. But Psalm 93 says, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. In our second reading, the disciples in the boat, on the lake, in the storm, out of control, and Jesus asleep. And they wake him up. Don't you care about us? And in our current storms, we wonder if God is asleep on the job. Does he care? Is he in control? And when Jesus in the boat calmed the storm, quiet, be still, it was not just a miracle. It was a statement. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. The sea that represents all the chaos and the darkness and the evil of this life, the Lord Jesus is mightier than those crashing waves. And we are called to trust in him and to put our faith in him. Even when we can't see why something is happening in our lives or in the world. The Bible never promises us a storm-free life. It would be nice if it did, but it doesn't. And Jesus gives us no indication that the world is going to get gradually calmer and more peaceful year on year. In fact, the very opposite. He says there'll be terrible times in the last days. But the Bible and Jesus Christ do call us to faith, not fear, to trust in his presence in the storm. And every situation like this one, or whatever other things you might be going through entirely unrelated to coronavirus, every situation like this one calls us to new reserves of faith in the Lord who reigns. So firstly, storms. Secondly, sickness. One of my children said to me yesterday, said, the world's under a lot of pressure, isn't it, Dad? And it is. It's been a turbulent 2020. fires and floods and a virus, and our children are growing up where this is the norm. The world is under a lot of pressure, isn't it, Dad? And our world is sick. And much of it at our hands. And Christians are not immune. Not immune. We live with everyone else in this fallen, sick world. And we must be clear that faith in God does not mean that God will spare all the Christians. On Sunday, December the 26th, 2004, over 200,000 people were killed by a tsunami from the Indian Ocean, including whole churches gathered for worship, swept away. Our world is sick, and we are caught up in it. Sin and suffering and disease and injustice. But we worship a God who stepped down into our sick world. Not in a full hazmat suit, keeping us at arm's length, fully protected, insulated from our mess. He breathed our air. He took on our weaknesses. It's true, he healed the sick and he calmed the storm, signs of his divinity, but he also embraced our humanity. And ultimately, he took upon himself the sickness of the world, our sin. He died because of it. He died for it. He died in isolation and excluded and cut off so that we might be healed and brought close to God. And amongst other things, this teaches us how we should respond to coronavirus in a Christ-like way. It's not every person for themselves. Our government is busy trying to pass legislation to prevent people from acting selfishly. But followers of Christ should not need such rules. Negatively, we are to avoid panic buying, leave some loo rolls for some other people. Positively, there is an opportunity to care and show compassion and be a community. And throughout history, the church at its best has shown extraordinary levels of compassion and made a real difference precisely at times like this one. So we must follow all the government advice and hand-washing and self-isolating and so on, but that's not a kind of pulling up of the drawbridge and keeping me and my family safe and everyone else can fend for themselves. And so we should ask, how can you be Christ-like to family and friends and neighbors who are fearful or have no faith? Just as an aside, my daughter Hannah turns 3 this week. She's been looking forward to her birthday for weeks. And she's getting terribly confused with all the singing of happy birthday twice when you wash your hands. She knows it's coming and we keep singing, but it doesn't seem to be her birthday. It's torture for the poor. So don't sing near her. Storms, sickness, and security. Amidst all this sickness, times like these are, and I hope I can put it this way, are a healthy reminder that we are not in control. And we like to think that we are, and we make our plans, and we build our lives, and we invest for our futures. But it's an illusion. We are so fragile. Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And this is one of these teach us to number our days moments. We're so fragile and we're so easily distracted. The things that concern us and consume us in normal life, where we're just caught up in the urgent rather than the important and the eternal. And times like this are a healthy reminder, and they give us a healthy perspective. And we shouldn't miss this opportunity to hear what God is saying. What's really important? What am I really living for? What foundation am I building my life upon? What is my hope? Where is my faith? Only then, when we're clear, it's only then that we can be at peace in troubled times. And it's only then that we can be the peaceful presence of Christ to others. At the end of the Bible, in Revelation 21, there's a vision of a new heavens and a new earth, a place where there will be no more sickness or suffering or crying or pain. And I wonder if you remember the little detail that's recorded there. I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And if you like the sea, that seems a shame. But in biblical imagery, it is wonderful news. As we trust Christ in the present, so we look to him for a future. Beyond the storm, well, there'll be no longer any chaos or terror. Only peace. So let's pray together. So may Christ, who stilled the storm, who brought us peace, and one day will bring eternal peace, may he bring peace to our lives, and may we bring his peace to our world. In his name we pray. Amen.